I'm Jez Barron, and this is Cult Gennaro Chat, the only weekly English language podcast dedicated to Atletico Madrid and the official podcast of Into the Calderon, SB Nation's home for all things Atletico. My guest on this edition of Cult Gennaro Chat, making his standard Monday appearance on a Sunday. It's his standard Monday appearance, but on a Sunday, is Into the Calderon staff writer Rob Walker. Rob Walker is the guest on this edition of Cult Gennaro Chat, where we break down Atletico's stunning, shocking, enthralling, captivating 5-2 win over Sevilla at Estadio Ramon Sanchez Pizjuan on Sunday night. Not even close to the expected result. This played out in a completely different way than Atletico's 5-2 aggregate loss to Sevilla in the Copa del Rey last month. Antoine Griezmann notching his first hat trick of the season, Diego Costa scoring his 11th goal in 13 games against Sevilla. As Atleti keep up the pace with Barcelona, a weekend in which all four of the top four won. So a very important win from that standpoint as well. We'll talk about how on earth Atletico managed to score five goals with four central midfielders on the pitch for more than an hour. We'll express very mild dismay over Atletico conceding two goals for the first time in a league game since August. More on Griezmann's hat trick and his just scandalous form of late. Just how he has benefited from Diego Costa's return and how the Costizman partnership has fully bloomed. We'll talk about all that and more, including Atletico's return to a stadium called Wanda, where they will host Leganés on Wednesday in a midweek round of La Liga action. A very exciting episode ahead, but before we bring Rob in, make sure to subscribe to Cult Gennaro Chat on your favorite podcasting platform if you haven't done so already. That includes iTunes. If you're on iTunes, please leave a rating and a review. Really helps us out. Helps to get more eyes and ears on the program when people search for Cult Gennaro Chat or related terms such as Atletico Madrid, La Liga podcasts, soccer podcasts, football, Spanish football, what have you. Cult Gennaro Chat will jump toward the front of the queue, so please leave a rating and a review. Also, if you would like to support the show in a different way, by heading over to our Patreon page, feel free to do so. Patreon.com/Cult Gennaro Chat. You'll become a Cult Gennaro Chat amigo. Not a patron, but an amigo. And you'll get a lot of cool benefits, including access to our bonus pods, our weekly rumor roundup pods, and a lot more. So head over to patreon.com/Cult Gennaro Chat. We'll be back with Rob Walker after this. I saw T-Pain last night.
Fantastic. And how is he?
He's T-Pain. He's an icon.
Oh, he absolutely is.
Like, ASU had their annual Devil Palooza thing, which had, like,
of course, you know, yes,
hundreds and hundreds and, like, thousands of students. And, like, we all gathered, yes, in Tempe, yeah, and they set up a stage for T-Pain, and he performed for an hour, and it was glorious.
Did he do all of the hits? I hope so.
Like, oh, yeah.
There better have been some Bartender going on.
There was Bartender, there was Buy You a Drink, there was Up Down.
Many classics on T-Pain's history, too many, gotta say.
Too many classics to name.
Yeah, love me some T-Pain. He's pretty good. He came around with that auto-tune, and does he still use the auto-tune as heavily in the concerts?
He did not use it very heavily, no. There are some bangers, though.
Oh, I'm certain.
Absolute bangers, Rob.
Yeah, there's a stretch of time there where if you put T-Pain on a song, it was probably going to go.
I'm trying to remember what else he played, but he played, like, all the hits. And he played some new stuff, too.
I can't say that I'm as familiar with the recent work of T-Pain, but, I remember when he was popular, but that was at the same time Lil Wayne was at the top of the world, so.
Yeah, that was
how long ago that was.
That was middle school and high school, Jeremy.
Well, yes, absolutely. For me, it was, into middle school, middle into middle school. It was a good time.
Those were the days.
I think they were. It was a nice period. Yeah, it was very 2000s, though. Can't say it's aged particularly well.
But... Oh, it really hasn't, but who cares? Who cares, right? We all grew up with it.
Exactly. So, you know, I can see objectively it might not be that good, but I have fond memories. So that's all that matters.
And he did I'm in Love with a Stripper.
A great one. His songs seem to revolve around one topic.
Yeah, in case you didn't notice.
Yes, he's a man that appreciates some adult entertainment.
To put it mildly, yes.
Yes.
All right, let's do the whip around.
Yes, after that, you know, mild distraction.
We are almost through 25 weeks, Rob. We are almost into the back end of the season now.
Where does the time go?
I don't know, man. But on Wednesday, Real Madrid and Leganés finally got around to making up that game that's been in hand forever.
Hallelujah.
Yeah, Madrid won it 3-1, a pretty convincing win for them. On Friday, Espanyol and Depor playing out a goalless draw in which Depor missed a penalty and hit the woodwork twice, because of course they did.
Yeah, that was a real stinker. They should have won that. Them and Malaga are heading right down.
Very much looks like it. It's still just 2 points between them and Levante in 17th, but Levante play Real Betis on Monday, and that really could go either way.
Yep, you never know. There may be some goals, as we know about Real Betis.
Yes, always watch Betis.
Yes, there's always a good chance for goals.
On Saturday, Celta 2, Eibar 0. Celta playing a bit more on the counter than we're used to seeing, and playing pretty well. Goals from Iago Aspas and Maxi Gomez. Real Madrid getting another victory on Saturday. They beat Alaves 4-0. Leganés and Las Palmas. Leganés failing to win again, but a valuable point for Las Palmas in a goalless draw. Las Palmas up to 18th.
They're on the bubble. They're the team that I would have the most confidence in, but honestly, the bottom three is pretty uninspiring.
Just one loss in four. The Paco Gémez effect.
Hey, he's doing it. He's doing it. They certainly look the best of those bottom three terrible clubs.
Seriously. Speaking of terrible, Girona were just that on Saturday night, getting pounded by Barca 6-1.
It started so well.
Porto in the third minute, and that just made Barca really angry. Outrageous goals from Messi and Suarez and Philip Coutinho with one of the goals of the weekend. I thought it was the goal of the weekend until today.
Yep, that was a banger. That's what they got him for. Oof. He will do that from time to time.
Yeah. Still unbeaten, our Barcelona through 25 weeks. On Sunday, Villarreal with a 1-0 win over Getafe. Important win for Villarreal, who got a little bit of distance from Sevilla. Well, actually jumped Sevilla and put 2 points between them and sixth place. Athletic with a 2-1 win over 10-man Malaga, a come-from-behind win over 10-man Malaga. Oh, Athletic, what are you doing? Malaga have lost four in a row. They're screwed.
Yep, it's over for them. The only guy that scored a goal for them today got sent off, so that's great.
Yeah. A really good day for En-Nesyri. Really, really a chaotic day for him. Scored the goal and got sent off at the end.
Yeah, I still like him. I don't think he will be long for there once they go down.
Like, I think he kicked Kepa in the head, and that's what got him sent off. Yeah,
sounds about right. But he's a bit of a physical specimen. He's got some pace about him. He's a fairly big dude. So
yeah, he's one to watch. Valencia, another 1-goal win for them. This time, 2-1 over Real Sociedad. This is a pretty good game. But,
yep, Santi Mina doing his thing.
Santi Mina with another brace. He's had a really good season. Mikel Oyarzabal, who likely is going to leave this summer. I think he's going to go this summer. Sell him while you can, when his value is this high. He scored for Real Sociedad.
If this were American sports, Real Sociedad might be doing what you call tanking.
Yes. Yes.
They're selling off everybody.
There's still a lot of distance between them and relegation, but... yeah, it just has not been much of a season for them. 47 goals for, 47 against.
Yeah, there may be a bit of an overhaul there this summer.
I would think so. Eusebio might go. And the game Monday, as we mentioned, is Levante and Real Betis. But we got to talk about the last game on Sunday. The Sunday night game at the Ramon Sanchez Pizjuan. Sevilla 2, Atletico Madrid 5.
Yeah.
Sevilla 2... Atletico 5, the two goals conceded. You know what?
Very, very annoying.
Two goals conceded for Atletico. What went wrong, Rob?
I think they kind of took their foot off the gas. I mean, and you know, I can't pretend like I don't understand that given the score line, but it was frustrating. I mean, I can't really be mad about it because it was 5-2. So I'm just going to pretend they didn't happen. That's kind of my first sort of thing. I don't really mind. It's annoying for Oblak and for our goal difference, but
yes,
I would have liked to stay under double digits for goals conceded.
Just the second time in La Liga this season, I think the third time. No, it's more than that, but just the second time in La Liga that Atletico have been hit for two goals. First time since match day one against Girona.
It's insane.
Yeah, it really is.
It just kind of shows how crazy the record is.
And Atletico went up to 11 goals conceded for the season. Just although Barcelona are at 12 now.
Yeah, bleh. Yeah, it's annoying to be over 10, but you know, it doesn't really matter.
Yeah, they conceded two, but they scored five.
That's right.
Third time this season, Atletico have gone away from a stadium called Wanda in La Liga and put up five on someone. Levante and Las Palmas, the first two, and now Sevilla on Sunday night. I didn't see this coming, especially when the news came out yesterday that Simeone was going to go with the cuatro pivote, the four central midfielders. I had a real bad feeling about this, and I predicted a 2-0 win for Sevilla. And I got the two goals right. I didn't get the five right, though.
Yeah, you missed the five. And I mean,
yeah, I did.
I think it was actually probably, other than the formation, I think it was a fairly good game plan, because Sevilla are a team that, as we saw today, can't really defend. But they can score goals okay. So Atletico, normally, if they concede two goals, you'd be worried about them winning the match. But, you know, when you score five, that's not the problem.
Right. Note to Jose Mourinho, you can attack Sevilla. It's okay. They don't really defend.
No, yeah, they do not do defending, in fact.
They don't.
They had multiple clangers today.
I had someone on Twitter yesterday tell me Sevilla are a defensive team. I'm like, what?
No.
Have you watched La Liga, bro?
I think Atletico and Sevilla could be, you know, the most opposite clubs.
Yeah, seriously. Like, I think the only more polar opposites are, like, Betis or something like that.
Betis really don't defend. They're not doing defending in Seville these days.
They don't. I think those two have conceded like 90 goals between them.
Hey, it's exciting, that's for sure.
Oh, definitely. But Atletico got just bodied in the first 20 minutes, Rob. Sevilla had a great chance inside 3 minutes from Luis Muriel, who also missed a critical chance midweek. He missed one on Sunday that should have put Sevilla ahead. Basically 1v1 with Oblak, but Oblak made the save. What changed after those first 20 minutes or so?
Well, I mean, the whole game, Atletico really didn't have that much possession. I mean, they were hovering a little above 30 for most of it. But then they got lucky for the first goal, I think, because it's the most ridiculous goal I've seen recently, that Costa gets booked for simulation, and then from that very free kick, they give it away in their own box to Diego Costa, which is a terrible idea.
Let's talk about that sequence, all right, because that was wonderful.
Unbelievable.
So Griezmann pings the ball like all the way up the pitch to Costa. He went with balls one back. Griezmann pings it ahead to Costa, and he's trying. Gabriel Mercado, poor guy, is trying to chase him down. Costa gives him a stiff arm, turns around, sees Lenglet coming up. Lenglet wins the ball. Costa gives him an elbow to the back, and then Lenglet. I think Costa may have simulated this, but Lenglet quote unquote hit him in the face. Costa goes down, gets a yellow card. The ensuing free kick, Ever Benega takes it up, and I don't know why he's the one receiving the ball, but he takes it up. Costa wins it with his right foot, pokes it free, and then slots in. Like, we didn't even see it the first time because of La Liga replays, but that entire sequence that's Diego Costa in a nutshell, and that is what Atletico, we said it before, that is what they did not have, and they have now.
I mean, that was a pretty hospital first touch give it away to Diego Costa like that. And, it, you know, from Diego Costa from that distance is pretty deadly. So, yeah, they're pretty fortunate on the first one. But from there, I think that kind of gave them a boost that they needed. to carry on and keep scoring, because they had a good period and then they sort of went back in their shell a little bit. But then just before halftime, they ramped it up again, I thought.
Yeah, and then Griezmann scored what I think was the goal of the weekend with his right foot. This curling, looping effort that Sergio Rico had no chance at. It was a gorgeous goal.
Yeah, I really didn't expect him to shoot from there because it seemed very awkward. He was kind of cutting across his body with his weaker foot, but it was perfectly placed, you have to say. It was incredible, I thought.
And then he went over to the corner flag and started like singing into it. Like it was a microphone.
Yeah, Sevilla fans, they were really fond of him doing that.
Sevilla fans are fond of everybody who doesn't play for their team.
Well, yeah, they had a big day for booing.
Yeah, they did. As
they had a few opportunities.
Because Simeone decided to go into full troll mode.
Ultra troll mode. It was, bring on both the old Sevilla players.
Like first he went with the four central midfielders, okay, and I know he does that because he's a troll. Then he brings on Vitolo and Gamero with Atletico out of sight. Hilarious. It was wonderful.
If only Vitolo had scored that chance.
Oh man.
That would have been amazing.
Griezmann had picked him out. He was unmarked. Could have made it. That could have made it 5-0, and then he just missed. Imagine if he had scored.
Yeah, the piece one was quiet already at that point, but then it would have been real, real silent, or very loud, depending on the boos.
Yeah, what else we didn't talk about though? Atletico finally won a penalty.
Oh, at long last, first league penalty.
It only took 25 games, but there we go. And Costa, again, in the center of it all, charging into the box. Sergio Rico cuts him down. Clear penalty. Griezmann sends him the wrong way. 1-for-1 this season.
Well, I mean, the thing is about Atletico and penalties is I don't really mind not getting penalties because we aren't great at taking penalties.
Not great at them, no. Simeone has said before, Atletico do not practice penalties.
It does show, but Griezmann's was good, to be fair to him. He's had some high-profile misses in the past, shall we say.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
Diego Costa's a pretty good penalty taker, so I was actually kind of surprised he didn't take it. But I think it's sometimes a good idea to not have the guy that won the penalty take it. Sometimes they can get a little flustered. But, yeah, good penalty from Griezmann.
Yeah, and it's funny because Az had an article this week kind of debating who would take Atletico's first penalty of the season. Would it be Costa or Griezmann? Would you have picked Costa?
I think he's the better penalty taker. In that moment, I might have picked Griezmann just because, you know, he didn't win it. So I think probably just because he's the established penalty taker, it makes sense that Griezmann took it, but I would prefer Costa.
I would have picked Gabby.
Fair.
Gabby's always been really good on penalties.
Yeah. I don't really know. I don't think Griezmann is, I mean, he might be the third best, but you could make arguments that there's someone even better than him for that. But, you know, it is what it is.
Yeah, you could say Gabby and possibly Costa are both better penalty takers than Griezmann. But no matter, Griezmann slotted this one in pretty easily. And let's see. Okay, then Koke scored on another error. Because this back pass by Gabriel Mercado, just, I don't know what this was. But Griezmann read it perfectly, jumped the lane, back-heeled it to Koke, who scored his first goal since August. That had to feel really good for him. And then Saul makes this just hypnotizing run into the box about 10 minutes later, 15 minutes later. And then Griezmann with his right foot again into an empty net to make it 5. Manita, and a hat trick for Griezmann.
Yeah, wow. Absolutely. I don't know what it was. I mean, when you make mistakes on a football pitch, you probably want to avoid making those mistakes in your own box. And Sevilla made quite a few of those today, maybe
so
around 4,
yeah,
perhaps more.
I think just physically and mentally, Sevilla by the end of the game were just totally overmatched. They desperately needed a goal early, and they were obviously going for one because the Muriel chance was their best chance of the day. And they had, I think, 4 shots in the first 10-15 minutes or so, and they had not even close to that many for the majority of the game, or the part of the game that mattered when Atletico just charged ahead. Sevilla, you could just see after the first goal, they were not the same. the pace of play really slowed down, and that made Atletico a lot more comfortable. And honestly, they gifted Atletico three goals. The Costa goal.
Yeah, they did.
The penalty, and then Koke's goal.
Yeah, pretty much. And their chances, really, they had chances in the first, you know, opening 10 minutes, and then in the last, you know, 6 minutes, they scored two goals. But that was really it. In between that time, there was a whole lot of nothing. They couldn't really get anything going, and I was surprised with how poor they were going forward, really.
Yeah, it's weird, and I think part of this was Montella chose not to rotate. He played the exact same team that played against United on Wednesday. Mm. And
they did look a little winded.
Yeah. So there are, I think, definitely some of that. That Barrizo rotated a ton, and Montella is not rotating at all. So there's got to be some kind of happy medium there, but there doesn't appear to be any.
Yeah, one would hope, but I mean, they did look quite tired, and you could see the impact that someone like Nolito coming off the bench had for them. Obviously scored the second goal.
Yeah, Ben Yedder, too. He set up their first goal.
Yeah, the Sevilla fans seem to be annoyed that he wasn't starting, which makes sense since he's their highest scorer and all that.
He's also about 10 times better than Muriel is. I have just not been impressed with him at all in his first season in Spain.
He's never really been a prolific goal scorer, and they paid quite a lot of money for him.
No, I think he's probably better as a second striker. I don't think he's a guy who leads your line. Ben Yedder is.
Yeah, his finishing has not been great. This last week has been a bad finishing week for old Muriel.
Last couple games, not so good for Luis there.
Yeah, I also always think of Courage the Cowardly Dog when I see his last name. just a random aside.
or Chandler Muriel Bing from Friends.
Yeah, that'll work too.
That was his middle name.
Those are two very old references.
Wow, yes they are.
Overall a very enjoyable game, I thought, even if the goals were a little, you know, kind of out of nothing in some instances, but
yeah,
they were good goals.
That's my next question. Despite Atletico putting up five at the Pizjuan, would you say the Quattro Pivote worked? Because Atletico were gifted three goals.
I think parts of it worked,
yeah,
but it clearly doesn't work for Saul and Koke. I mean, if you're going to do this and you're playing those two on the wings, you're just essentially accepting that they're not going to have a great day, because neither of them like it playing on the wing. And I thought Koke was the better of the two this time, but clearly not great from the wing, those two.
Yeah, Saul was much better when he was moved to the middle. I mean, he set up
Griezmann's
goal, he ran a bit more, was more involved in the attacking phase of the game. And Koke, I think, had one of his better games of the calendar year to this point. I think he played pretty well. Obviously got his goal, which I think that's a huge boost for him. It should be a huge boost for him, his first goal in 6 months. But as we've said before, it does kind of limit what players in this team can do. It certainly limits Sal's creativity and Koke's playmaking. It requires Felipe and Versalico to do most of the playmaking duties. And if one or both of them aren't at the top of their game, it's extremely difficult for Atletico.
Yeah, and I really think that part of the reason Koke looked so good today was playing on that sort of off to the left-hand side most of the day. He was linking up with Felipe and Diego Costa, and I thought that worked quite well. I thought those three sort of as a group had a good understanding, as you might imagine.
Yeah, he was also helped out by Jesus Navas having to come off early, because Navas was terrorizing him in those first 10-15 minutes.
Yeah, that was an interesting one. It kind of seemed like Diego Costa fell on Jesus Navas.
Yes, he did.
Jesus Navas is one of the most enjoyable players to me, because he can just do one thing, and that one thing is run fast, but now he's old, so I'm not sure he can really do that anymore.
Run fast and cross. That's like all he's ever done. He's made a really nice career out of it.
Yeah, well, fair enough. You know, one-dimensional players exist.
Yeah, and he's had a really nice long career. He's a legend at Sevilla.
He is. Somehow he's managed to play a bazillion games for them, and, you know, he had his money at Man City, so he's good. But, I mean, I was quite surprised with how little, with the possession that they had, Sevilla did. because they did have the ball more than Atletico did, but they couldn't really make much out of it, I thought, or anything quality.
No, they seemed to just lack ideas. Atletico were pretty well organized, too. Just overall, a really good performance, although there was some luck in this, which is fine. Sometimes you need luck.
Yeah, and I think they kind of, in a way, made their own luck by really pressuring the back line of Sevilla.
True.
And kind of forcing them into mistakes.
Yeah, their pressing was extraordinary.
Yeah, today, I mean, everyone was on it. I mean, I saw Diego Costa defending in his own box on a few occasions.
Yeah, Griezmann with a 4-5-0 lead was defending in his own box.
Yeah, like, absolutely. That's just what this incredible team is.
Yeah.
I thought one of the benefits, though, we have our problems with the quadruple pivot is I thought Tomas and Gabby were a pretty solid duo today. I was surprised that it was Tomas that came off, but it made sense once Saul slotted in there.
Yeah, I thought it would be Gabby, especially since Gabby played the full 90 minutes in midweek against Copenhagen. But I suppose it makes sense. I think Gabby played pretty well. Tomas was not as good, but
yeah, I thought Tomas was okay. I thought he was better. He sat pretty deep in this game. I was kind of surprised.
Yeah, Gabby was doing a lot of the running that Tomas usually does.
Yeah, that was kind of weird to me. I kept expecting Tomas to be the guy to make the forward run, but it more often than not, it was Gabby. And Tomas was sitting, which, you know, benefit him. He's good at tackling, but I just think he's, at this stage of their careers, he is by far the better athlete.
Yeah.
So he should be doing that, really.
Let's talk about Kostiusman.
Ah, yes.
So, both players scoring today. Costa with 1, Griezmann obviously with 3. Griezmann's now up to 9 goals and 5 assists in 12 games since the winter break. That's pretty good. Griezmann is by far the biggest beneficiary of Costa's arrival. It's given him all this space that he didn't really have before. It's given him all these passing lanes and all this imagination that he couldn't use before because he has this freaking battering ram in front of him.
That's right. And, you know, not only did we get Vitolo and Costa in January, we also got the real Antoine Griezmann back.
Exactly.
First half of the season, he was poor up until the Roma game, and he had a little bit of a good spell, but then kind of was not great again to end the year. But now that he has Costa, he looks really good, I think.
Yeah, and not only...
He's able to do whatever now. He's not having to get the ball pumped up to him by Godin anymore.
Yeah, that was ugly. And
that was the other
thing. Not only that, but he and Costa have chemistry now. Like, I noticed this in the first half twice. There were two distinct occasions where Griezmann just pinged the ball forward. Like, at first it appeared aimless, but he knew Costa was going to be there and latch onto it and start a counterattack. He knew Costa was going to make the run he made.
Yeah, and there is no better player to lead the line of this team than Diego Costa. I think if you've watched all of his games, even in the games he doesn't score, he just works his socks off, and more often than not, he'll get a goal out of doing that for 90 or so minutes.
So that's kind of the benefit of having Costa training for 6 months, is that he and Griezmann surely found this chemistry over that time, and they now know each other better than I think that they would have if Costa had gone on loan or Costa hadn't committed at all until January. That's the benefit.
Yeah, and I think Costa looks really fit as well. He's in tip-top shape. You can tell he hasn't been slacking off these last few months.
No.
So, yeah, it's great. And I think they kind of naturally complement each other. So now that they've been playing together in the time that Costa's just been training, I think it's kind of coming full circle here.
It really has.
There is a reason we were waiting that whole first half of the season to get him.
Yep, and now it's here, and now we're getting results like this, where Atletico exacting revenge for that Copa del Rey elimination by the same scoreline, too, which is pretty cool.
It is. Well, I'm glad to have beaten Sevilla in the league. This was a pretty tough match, and as a primer for next weekend, couldn't ask for much more, really.
Yeah, because obviously next weekend we have that top-of-the-table clash at Camp Nou, Barca, Atletico. just the small matter of it being on the front page of Marca or Az for like every day for the next 7 days.
Yeah, well, and I mean that game has certainly the possibility to either kill the title race or make it more interesting.
Do we have League? Is there League?
I think we will know after next Sunday.
Good answer.
Because really, honestly, I think it does come down to that game. Obviously, midweek's important, but I don't think that'll be really playing Leganés at home. I'm not particularly concerned, but you know, away at Barcelona is a bit of a clincher. So I believe in this team. I've been so impressed with them the second half of the season. It really actually has been quite enjoyable to watch them, even though there have been a couple snoozers. This team is really kind of coming together. You see what they were doing now.
Yeah, one may wish that they'd come together a bit earlier in the season, particularly during the Champions League group stage, but what's done is done. You know, bygones be bygones. You know, Atletico are doing what they can in Europe. They're in the last 16 of the Europa League. We didn't even touch on that.
That did happen.
It did, yeah. That game wasn't very interesting at all because Gamero was scored and that was it. And they drew
Love the Europa League.
They drew Lokomotiv Moscow in the round of 16. They are atop the Russian league. Obviously, we'll have more on them the closer we get to that tie. But yeah, Atletico are surely the favorites there, and you have what's rapidly becoming a very interesting situation atop the table. Because now Real Madrid are within 7 points, as well as Atletico being within 7 of Barcelona.
Hopefully, our main hope is that they can pull it out against Chelsea in the Champions League so they keep having more matches.
Exactly.
Them going out at this stage of the Champions League would be very bad for any title challenge.
Yeah, there wouldn't be one. And same for Madrid against PSG.
Right, because they will, as we have seen in the past, they are more than happy to give up on the league to chase the Champions League.
Now, it looks like they are going to win that tie with their aggregate lead and with Neymar having to be stretchered off on Sunday.
Yeah, isn't it just
amazing how every year the stars just seem to align for them? Every year. Like, without any cause or without any delay, just when they need things to break right for them in the Champions League, they just do.
Yeah, they've had some ties over the past, especially the years they've won it, that have been a little cheesy. I seem to remember one against Wolfsburg that was particularly fortunate. Yeah, it is what it is. I mean, we'll see. I just want them to get knocked out in the next round, to be honest. But I was just looking at Lokomotiv Moscow's roster to see if I recognized anyone. They have Jefferson Farfan.
They do. Yes.
Wow. Remember that dude? He used to have a lot of pace on FIFA. That's all I know about that.
Yeah. Man.
Oh, they have Eder.
Yes.
Portugal legend. Oh, man. Sorry, Antoine. Don't want to remind you of that one.
Yeah. Oh, the Euros.
Yeah, that was another example of Cristiano Ronaldo's team having a good bit of fortune about winning a trophy.
And he wasn't even there for that one.
Yeah, he was on the sideline trying to coach.
So, really good from Atletico on Sunday, and they do have the midweek game, as we talked about, against Leganés at home. Earlier this season, Atleti went to Butarque and drew 0-0. That kind of was the start of that run of form that eventually knocked them out of the Champions League. That was actually right after the Chelsea game, that draw at Butarque, which was really putrid. And now Atletico in great form. They won 5 on the trot in La Liga, trying to make it 6 against a Leganés team that was held to a goalless draw by Las Palmas, one of the worst teams in La Liga this weekend.
I think we're going to win it.
I would say so, too. At home, with Barcelona at the weekend, Simeone will surely have one eye on that game. So don't sleep on Leganés, though, because that can be a pretty frustrating team to play. Although Lega's away form, just 3 wins from 13 and 7 losses.
I think this would be a good game to give Vitolo 90 minutes, or at least close to it.
Yeah, I would be surprised if he didn't start this one. Gabby will likely rest. I'm sure he's going to be in the 11 to face Barca.
Oh, yeah.
probably going to see Costa and Griezmann again. Maybe Gamero starts. But yeah,
you could play Costa and Gamero. I think that could work.
Sure, but that'll become clearer over the next couple of days as Simeone tinkers at training and we see what happens. Scoreline prediction.
I think it'll be 2-0.
I'm going to go with... I'll be optimistic. 3-0.
All right.
Yeah,
I'll
I'll be the optimistic one and go 3-0. I don't feel fully comfortable with it, but I'll go with it.
Yeah, I'm fairly confident about this one, especially given the bad result early in the season. I feel like we're, you know, maybe do a little bit of revenge on old Leganés. But, yeah, especially with the Barcelona game coming up, we definitely don't want a bad result going into that match.
Nope. So just get this one out of the way and then move on to Barcelona at the weekend. Not to dismiss Leganés because they've had a nice season and they can spring a surprise, as Real Madrid learned in the Copa. But I do feel Atletico are catching them at a good time. They haven't won in five, including three losses in that time. Their away form isn't that good. And Atleti are flying right now, so I would say that they're going to win.
Yep.
Mattress maker of the match against Sevilla?
He's got to be Griezmann, isn't it?
Yeah,
got three goals and an assist.
Yep,
he was damn good.
Magnificent. All right, man.
Yeah, got to be.
We are going to do our stacked rumor roundup pod now, but you got anything else for the regular pod?
I think that's all for me.
Great. Patrons, your bonus pod's on the way. For the regular listeners, that is Rob Walker. You can follow him on Twitter at rwalk03. You can follow me, your host, Jeremy Barron, on Twitter at jbbarron. Like Into the Calderon on Facebook at facebook.com/IntoTheCalderon. You can also follow Into the Calderon on Twitter at Into the Calderon. Subscribe and listen to Culture Narrow Chat on your favorite podcasting platform. That includes iTunes, where you should leave a rating and review if you like us that much. Also, if you want to become a patron and get access to the bonus pods, if you want to become a Culture Narrow Chat amigo, you can do that at patreon.com/culturenarrowchat. That's patreon.com/culturenarrowchat. We'll be back in midweek to review Leganés and preview the Partidazo at Camp Nou. Until then, adios.